Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today we'll be reading an article from the front page of the Wall Street Journal. But if you think it'll be boring, if you think it's on economics or tax policy, that stuff is so interesting. But if you think it'll be boring, don't go away. It's about dinosaurs. It's about digging up dinosaurs that have soft tissue in them. Yes, on the front page of today's Wall Street Journal. But first, I just want to read this definition out of this Webster's dictionary here. I just want you to see that I have the actual authentic Webster's dictionary here in the studio. Here we go. You hear that? Could you tell? Doesn't that sound like Webster's? Okay. Hardback and everything. Let me open this up here. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Gullible. Gullible, adjective, gullible, neo-Darwinist, easily duped, evolutionist. So that's the meaning of the word gullible. I wonder if, remember Darwin went on that journey around the world? He was a naturalist, and he went on the Beagle, and he got to the Galapagos Islands. I wonder if they were gulls that he was studying with their beaks. They must have been gulls. And ever since, all the Darwinists after him have been gullible. Okay, so here we have this article in the Wall Street Journal. Of course, last week I went to Montana along with a dozen or so other guys, a few scientists. We were involved with an ongoing dinosaur dig, and there's an effort there, ongoing effort in Glendive, Montana, not only to excavate dinosaur fossils, but to carbon-14 date them and to show that they're young. They're not millions of years old, because pretty much everything we date and wherever we look for carbon-14, sure enough, we find carbon-14. That's pretty cool, even in diamonds. And by the way, an electrical engineer from one of the Fortune 100 companies in the country contacted me this week, and said, Bob, I've been listening to the shows about carbon-14 dating and how dinosaurs and coal and fossils are all shown to be only thousands of years old, not millions. And he said, I find it fascinating, and I'm generally in agreement, but some people say that carbon-14 in diamonds could form naturally because of radioactive decay under the crust of the Earth and neutrinos slamming into atoms and forming carbon-14. Nitrogen-14 atoms get bombarded and they decay into carbon-14 atoms. And so he said, how about that argument? And so we had a few of our friends weigh in on that issue, including a handful of scientists, and they pointed that engineer to published research papers on that very topic, and they showed that there's insufficient radioactive activity in the crust of the Earth to create all this carbon-14 by a factor of 10,000. There's 10,000 times too little radioactivity and decay going on in the crust of the Earth to form carbon-14 in diamonds naturally. So the fact that we find carbon-14 in diamonds, coal, gas, oil, amber, and in dinosaur fossils shows that these are not millions of years old, because all that carbon-14 would have disappeared by now, but they are only thousands of years old. So let's go to this article on the front page of today's Wall Street Journal. Boy, I wonder if this reporter, Robert Lee Hutz, I wonder if he was listening in on our BEL show last week on the internet. Maybe that's what turned him on to writing this article. Well, let's see. It's headlined, Dinosaur Hunter Seeks More Than Just Bare Bones. Professor Jack Horner searches for traces of blood, DNA, lucky break from T-Rex. All right, this article out of Jordan, Montana. Prospecting in Montana's Badlands, rock axe in hand. We usually don't read entire articles on this show, but we'll read most of this article. Rock axe in hand, paleontologist Jack Horner picks up a piece of the jawbone of a dinosaur, and with it, he slew 3,000 Philistines. Oh, no, sorry. Just accidentally started reading in this Bible here. Back to the Wall Street Journal. He picked up a piece of the jawbone of a dinosaur. He examines the splinter, then puts it back and moves on. It isn't the kind of bone he is looking for. These are not the drones we're looking for. They're not the drones we're looking for. Please move on. Please move on. Anyway, these are not the kind of bones he's looking for. Professor Horner is searching for something that many scientists believe no longer exists, dinosaur bones that harbor blood cells, protein, and perhaps even DNA. That is exciting, I'll tell you that. Most people looking for dinosaurs are looking for beautiful skeletons, he says. We are looking for information. And I love that. I love that because the greatest enemy of evolution is modern science. That's what the curator of the Glendive Dinosaur Fossil Museum said on the show just a couple shows ago, Otis Klein. He said the greatest enemy of evolution is modern science. And so now, these paleontologists are digging up dinosaur bones with soft tissues in them, putting them under microscopes and finding blood vessels and blood cells and collagen and proteins. And he said, we are looking for information. And you know what he means by that, right? The DNA in a cell is a massive collection of information. It's information. Information science is what helps us understand life. Life is not carbon-based. Well, there's carbon in biological life, but it's not quite accurate to say life is carbon-based. We should say life is information-based because DNA is fundamentally an instruction set, a language complete with grammar and syntax and sophisticated logic and control systems. So he says, we are looking for information. And by the way, evolutionists, they don't like to talk about information because information doesn't increase and build up by random chance, not even by natural selection. Natural selection is a conservative process, and random mutations are destructive processes. So he says, we are looking for information. That is so cool. God is a God of information. He created. That's why our DNA is so wildly complex. This summer, Professor Jack Horner, 61 years old, is overseeing 9 field expeditions from Montana to Mongolia, looking for specimens intended not just for museums, but also for molecular studies. Molecular studies, pretty cool. Biomolecular studies. For more than a decade, he has been searching for soft tissue in dinosaur bones 65 million years old. Now, that's true, but it's a little bit misleading. Somebody reading this and somebody doesn't know about the history of all this, they would think that Jack Horner was so smart that he figured out that even though dinosaurs are millions of years old, there would probably be soft tissue laying around in their bones. And he didn't do that. That was an accident back in 1993, right when Jurassic Park, the movie's coming out. Lo and behold, they discover Jack Horner and Mary Schweitzer. She discovers these hints of blood cells in a chunk of dinosaur bone. And so it was basically by accident. It was unexpected that they found this. And once they found it, then they found more. And now they're realizing, hey, wow, look at this. We could find soft tissue from dinosaurs. So his search for soft tissue places his fieldwork at the center of one of the most provocative endeavors in biology. So his search for soft tissue places his fieldwork at the center of one of the most provocative endeavors in biology, the emerging field of molecular paleontology. Whoa, molecular, biomolecular. That is so cool. And they call it provocative. That cracks me up. Why would it be provocative? Discover magazine, you know that publication? That's a popular magazine, Discover. And they did an article on the soft tissue back last year in April. And remember their headline, what they called it? They called it Schweitzer's Dangerous Discovery. I mean, they admit it. They're a bunch of old earth evolutionists. I guess that's redundant. All evolutionists are old earth. So they're a bunch of evolutionists. They believe dinosaurs are millions of years old. And Jack Horner and Mary Schweitzer are finding soft tissue and blood vessels and collagen and cells and proteins and bits of DNA inside of dinosaur fossils. And what's a fossil anyway? Used to be a fossil was some living thing that turned to stone. It was mineralized. That's not true anymore. Throw that definition out. Now we have soft tissue fossils. So what is a fossil? Boy, this world of evolution is in turmoil. And so she finds these dinosaur fossils with soft tissue in them. And so Discover Magazine, one of the leading evolutionist popular publications in the world, titles, they headline their article about her discovery, Schweitzer's Dangerous Discovery. That cracks me up. They know it's dangerous. How could it be dangerous? Why isn't it exciting? It's dangerous because it shows the lie that these things are not millions of years old. They haven't even completely dehydrated yet. Or they've kept their, maybe I should say that more accurately. They have retained their soft tissue flexibility. And they could literally, these pieces could be stretched and they bounce back. They don't crack like bone. And when they squeezed the blood vessel, red blood cells came out. That's pretty cool. So Discover Magazine titled this article, April 27, 2006. They titled it Schweitzer's Dangerous Discovery. And then the lead was this. When this shy paleontologist found soft, fresh-looking tissue inside a T-Rex femur, she erased a line between past and present. Then all hell broke loose. I guess so. All hell broke loose. Yeah, because all the people going to hell because they believe this lie that there was no creator God who made man in his image, but that we evolved from monkeys, from apes, from primates, and you go back far enough, we evolved from germs. That was a lie. And all hell broke loose when that lie was so easily exposed because dinosaurs didn't live 65 million years ago. They lived recently with man, as God's word, the Bible says, and God was there. He created life on earth. He created the earth. And he gave us a record. It's the most popular book in the history of the world. So let's continue. The Wall Street Journal article by Robert Hotz, H-O-T-Z, Hotz. He says that this is a provocative endeavors with its emphasis on recovering ancient cells. The field offers the possibility of a chemical key that can unlock a living past. For any surviving cell could contain an organism's entire genetic blueprint. And that's right. Our complete DNA, well, almost our complete DNA, appears in every single living cell. That is so exciting. Let's see here. Until recently, the field was foundering. So fragile is the chemistry of life that it can break down in a few months. Imagine that. Like if a rat gets hit by a car and it's laying in a gutter, let's say in a city that's run by liberals, let's say it's Detroit. And so it lays there, doesn't get cleaned up by the sanitation department for a few months, and then it's decomposing. It's decomposing. That's what biological cells, compounds do. They decompose. But they're saying in here, they're saying any surviving cell could contain an organism's entire genetic blueprint. Yeah, if it doesn't decompose. Okay, life is so fragile, it can break down in a few months. But under just the right conditions, research now suggests it can hold up for hundreds of thousands of years or more. Ha! hundreds of thousands of years or more. What, more as in 65 million years? For 65 million years in sandstone, complex biological molecules are not going to break down and decompose. And they got carbon-14 in them that shows they're not millions of years old. They're only thousands. And that carbon-14 cannot be contamination from groundwater, because if there was groundwater seeping in these fossils for millions of years, then certainly this soft tissue would be mineralized and decomposed. So let's see here. So they say, you know, under just the right conditions, like maybe cryogenics or what? Frozen with bird's eye in the freezer aisle at your local grocery store? Under just the right conditions, it could hold up for hundreds of thousands of years or more. Yeah, like 65 million years. Evolutionists are the most gullible. Oh, that's... Do you recognize that sound? What is that? That's Webster's Dictionary, the hardback edition. You could hear it, so authoritative. Listen to it. And when you look up the word gullible, A, B, C, D, G, gynecological, gullible. Gullible, adjective, neo-Darwinist, easily duped, evolutionist. That's what gullible is. You're gullible to believe this silliness that arms evolved into wings. So silly. How long would it be a bad arm before it became a good wing? How many thousands of generations? Oh, survival of the fittest? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, as your arms or legs are evolving into wings, you're becoming what, you're becoming more survivable. You're improving your survivability. You would have bad arms long before you had good wings. Trust me. Okay, let's see. Professor Jack Horner, a curator at the Museum of the Rockies in Bozeman. We went there. That's how we first got in touch with Jack Horner. And our church, Denver Bible Church, offered his museum, offered to him a grant of $23,000 if they would carbon-14 date the soft tissue T-Rex. And he wouldn't do it. And we said to him, we played one of the calls. I have two calls with Jack Horner. And he wouldn't do it. And he said that, he said, well, we don't even know what's in there. They break open a femur of a T-Rex, this massive femur, and they don't know what's in there. What do you think is in there? The secret recipe for a Big Mac? I mean, it's part of a T-Rex. That's what's in there. And he said, well, we wouldn't expect, you know, we don't carbon-14 date it because, of course, being millions of years old, there wouldn't be any carbon-14 in it. And to which we pointed out, Jack, you didn't expect to find soft tissue in a T-Rex. And so science sometimes proceeds by crossing every T and dotting every I. So you should carbon-14 date it. You'll find out something. Anyway, they don't want to do that. But Professor Jack Horner, a curator at the Museum of the Rockies in Bozeman, that's part of MSU, Montana State University, is among the world's most influential paleontologists. He pioneered studies of dinosaur parenting. Parenting? We could probably learn a lot from dinosaur parenting. Right now, I'm reading a book called Bringing Up Boys by Dr. James Dobson, because we have seven boys, Cheryl and I, between us, seven boys and three young ones. And it's pretty neat to read Dr. Dobson's book, Bringing Up Boys, and get his insights. So anyway, but look at here. Jack Horner pioneered the study of dinosaur parenting behavior, species variation, and bone cells. He is dyslexic, a former Special Forces operative from the Vietnam War era, a MacArthur Foundation Genius Fellow, and a chaired professor of Montana State University who never finished college. Isn't that interesting? He never got a college degree. So Mary Schweitzer, they now quote Mary Schweitzer, an assistant professor of paleontology at North Carolina State University, who has worked with Horner for years. And she says he breaks the mold And that's what makes him such a good scientist. And science needs renegades who will challenge assumptions. By their nature, even scholarly dinosaur studies are leaps of imagination. So it was with Professor Horner's search for dinosaur tissue. Okay. In 1993, just as the film Jurassic Park was making its debut, the National Science Foundation announced that Ms. Schweitzer, then, by the way, she's a Christian who believes in an old earth. And that's too bad, but it's good that she's a Christian. That's pretty neat. Ms. Schweitzer, I wonder if she likes that Ms. part. Ms. Schweitzer, Mary Schweitzer, named after the Lord's mother, Mary, who was herself named after Moses' sister, Miriam. Mary Schweitzer, then one of Professor Horner's graduate students, had found hints of red blood cells in the femur of a Tyrannosaurus rex that he had excavated in eastern Montana. That's where we were last week, in eastern Montana, in Glendive at the dinosaur fossil dig there, which is part of the also the creation, the Dinosaur Fossil Museum in Glendive. Nobody believed us, recalls Professor Horner, who was also the Jurassic Park film's technical advisor. Then in 2003, so nobody believed them that they found soft tissue in a dinosaur. And when he says nobody believed us, he wasn't speaking of the Christians, the young earth creationists. We believe it. He's speaking of all the atheists and the evolutionists and the gullible people who believe that they evolved from slime and that dinosaurs are millions of years old. Those are the people who didn't believe it because it contradicts their belief. So they didn't believe it. But lo and behold, in 2003, one of his colleagues spotted a bone jutting from a 40-foot sandstone cliff not far from that first site. It was another T-Rex. It took four members of Professor Horner's team 2 weeks working with jackhammers to free the skeleton. Jacket it in a protective sheath. Look at that. The word jack twice in two sentences in the Wall Street Journal in a story about Jack Horner. Isn't his name part of a nursery rhyme? Little Jack Horner sat in the corner. Okay, working with jackhammers to free the skeleton, jacket it in a protective sheath, Jack Horner, too many jacks in this story, to keep it straight. Jacket it in a protective sheath of plaster, one leg bone weighed 2 tons. Now, we've reported this to you on the air over the last year. One leg bone weighed 2 tons, far more than the crew's borrowed helicopter could lift. It started snowing. At wit's end... Oh, wow, they were in Odyssey. At wit's end, they sawed the priceless specimen in two. I had this terrible sinking feeling while I was breaking this bone, said field engineer Nels Peterson. From the bone's core, several brownish fragments fell. He wrapped them in tinfoil. So he got that. They had their dig, their crew. They cut the bone in half. Some pieces fell out of the bone. He wrapped them up in tinfoil. It turned out to be a lucky break. 2 years later, Professor Schweitzer announced she had found veins in the specimens in what looked like intact blood cells preserved inside the leg bone. And this past April, she, along with researchers at Harvard Medical School, reported that they had identified proteins found inside that massive dinosaur femur, the oldest such biochemical data ever recovered. Well, they're assuming it's millions of years old. It's not. So it is not the oldest such biological data ever recovered. But it's pretty cool that they found proteins inside of a T-Rex. Proteins. Proteins are little molecular machines. Our DNA is used as an instruction code to assemble these molecular machines that do the work inside our bodies. The upshot. Against all scientific expectation, there was fresh meat. Fresh meat. In microscopic quantities, to be sure. in the hind leg of a dinosaur that had been dead for 68 million years. Fresh meat. What does that sound like to you? Gullible. Gullible. Let's see. Gullible. What's the etymology of that word? From the Galapagos Islands. Huh, the beagle. Naturalist. Gullible. Adjective. Neo-Darwinist. Easily duped. Evolutionist. So that's where we're at, folks, with the evolutionist. Modern science is the greatest enemy of evolution. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have a brand new catalog, and it's a beaut. Four-page full-color, well, eight-page. Eight-page full-color catalog of all our new materials, our science programs, our pro-life strategy, Focus on the Strategy 2, now has a beautiful, improved new label. And you just want to see that. Open Theism, a seminar with Bob and Yurt on three DVDs. The Bob and Yurt Live Televised Classics, The Debate, The Age of the Earth Debate, Walt Brown Week, oh, that was a lot of fun, Jonathan Park, The Creation Adventure Series, oh, you're going to love that with your kids, and on and on and on. There's so many great resources available for you to learn, to grow, to, you know, what do they say, to be all that you can be? Well, that's in the Army. My son's in training right now. But now we really have a lot of material to help you grow in the Lord, to help you understand God's word and his creation, the world we live in, and God's principles of right and wrong, that God is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So get to know God, get to know his word. You could do it on your own, pick up a Bible and learn, or you can call us or go to our website, KGOV.com, because God has given gifts to the body of Christ, including the gift of teaching, evangelism, preaching. And so you could take advantage of that with the resources that we have here at Bob and Yurt Live. Or, like I said, you could do it on your own. Nobody needs any particular book or video or audio CD from Bob and Yurt Live. All you need is God and God's word, and you're on your way. But if you want to take advantage of the teaching resources we have here, I encourage you to call us, ask for our brand new catalog, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Check out our website, kgov.com. Colorado Right to Life, their banquet is on September 22nd. What, 13 tables are filled already? We need you, so call us, and Maranatha, what a great school.